All right, so this is second to last 2-minute drill.
Pac-12 football's done. I say it's the last 2-minute drill ever. We're moving to it. WST SEC next year.
We'll just do the SEC West. Not
we're your West Coast source for SEC football. No, the Western Division.
Source. Yeah, just the Western.
Welcome to WST, your worldwide source for sports. We're back. London, Poland, Madrid, Barcelona. We've been all around the world, and now we're back to cover the Pac-12, week 14. But before we get into it, Big Ben's going to give his 2-minute drill on week 13, starting right now.
Down in Tucson, Utah rolls. As Zach Moss went for over 203 yards and a touchdown, Tyler Huntley worked his way into the Heisman conversation with 23 passing, 211 yards, and one TD. Arizona never had a chance. Utah put up 14 in the first quarter and went on to win 35-7. A lot more fun up in Tempe as Big Herm rebounds, takes down the Ducks, and college football playoff is not a chance for those Ducks. Marco Cristobal is saddened as Abert was overshadowed by freshman phenom Jaden Daniels, who went for 408 yards, 3 TDs. Eno Benjamin, over 100 yards rushing. L.A. Memorial Coliseum, there was a first. It was a record-setting day for Swimmy Sammy Slovis, over 500 yards passing. First time in USC history that had happened in a game. Matt Leinart, Carson Palmer, Matt Barkley, to name a few, never went over 500 yards. Congratulations to Mr. Slovis, as they beat UCLA 52-35. Wonder Boy Wilcox and Cal become bowl eligible at Stanford College or Stanford Stadium. They score 14 fourth quarter points as they beat the Cardinal 24-20. Chase Gerber went for 285 yards through the air, 72 yards on the ground, and a TD both rushing and passing. Nico Remigio had 9 receptions for 157 yards and a touchdown. Out in Boulder, Colorado, the Buffs upset Washington. Montez went for 223 yards. Fontenette, 105 yards on the ground and a touchdown. And Chenault Jr. hit the century mark receiving, had a touchdown, as Washington has a big game against the Cougs this week to hopefully rebound and get to 6-6 on the season. And the most exciting game out on the Palouse, Oregon State scores 29 fourth quarter points. But Max Borgi puts a last-minute rushing touchdown on the board to propel the Cougs to bowl eligibility. Eric Gordon, our Pac-12 Player of the Week, put the ball in the air 70 times, completed 50 passes, 606 yards, and 6 touchdowns through the air as the Cougs look to get to either Vegas or El Paso this week, after this week. And that's Big Ben's 2-minute drill.
We also have Mr. James Rehorn joining from San Francisco. How's it going, James?
Good. How are you guys doing?
Doing good.
Morning, James. I called a trap game. Big Herm, Jaden Daniels, 3 TDs, 408 yards, 18 points. You look good. Utah's our only shot for the college football playoff. Slim chance, 10% chance.
No chance.
500 yards? Did you text Leinart and be like, well, how could you not throw for 500 yards in a single game, Slovis?
I didn't text him, but I can send him a DM if you want.
Just do a little Slovis with a greater sign than you.
Wow. What's going to happen when JT Daniels comes back next year?
He transfers. He's in the transfer.
He's already in the transfer portal.
As soon as Slovis went and hit that 515th yard or over 500 yards, he went in the transfer portal. He'll end up at Wazoo next year.
Wow. Will Leach still be at Wazoo?
Sensitive subject, Kyle.
I know. Big Ben already said he's leaving. He's going to, I think he said Oklahoma State.
Did you say
Oklahoma?
So, I mean, this is a good segue to what happened last night in the Egg Bowl and Rivalry Week. A kid caught a touchdown to tie the game, to put him a point behind Mississippi State. and eventually, you know, what you expect is a made extra point. Willie went on to do a celebration where it looked like a dog urinating to kind of mock the Mississippi State Bulldogs. Well, subsequently, they get a 15-yard penalty. This, you know, 20-yard kick becomes a 35-yard extra point, and the guy misses it. I believe he's headed to Mississippi.
Okay. You're not really doing the story justice. It's the guy, after he scored an epic, what should be game-tying touchdown, the extra point would have been game-tying, he got on all fours in the end zone and then went and lifted his leg and fake pissed on the referee. He gets pushed back 15 yards and the kicker misses the kick.
Wow.
From here to goat.
Yeah.
So, good story. Last week, we were moving into our house, and I only know really one other Coug that lives on West Seattle right now. It's Paul McNeil. And he was up at the bridge, and I was building these IKEA, you know, little chairs, high chairs, bar stools, or whatever you want to call them. And Char says, you can only go once you finish these. And it was like midway through the second quarter when I started. And it was more or less a countdown. So I'd be like new through number two, and then went to halftime. And then I'm on like the third, midway through the third one. He's like, we have 7 minutes left in the third quarter. So it's like, this guy's mocking me as I'm building these IKEA or bar stools. So I make it just before the fourth. I go up to the bridge and I sit down, and Oregon's, I think we were up, James, what were we up? 12 at one point going into the fourth.
Yeah. I mean, it was, it never really matters. It's just happy to get the win.
Well, yeah. But I sit down and everyone looks at me like, since you sat down, they've scored 21 straight points and got like an onside kick. Thankfully, I guess that call, the last call of the game, wasn't supposed to be a run, which is interesting. They actually audibled to a run, and Borgie won the game for us. Bowl eligibility.
I like that.
And then you had to come back and redo the bar stools because they fell apart when Char sat on them.
They're all still standing.
For now.
What about Washington, just 3-5 in the pack? I think it's the first
5 overall.
Today is
that loss is unbelievable. I cannot believe they lost that. They lost to Colorado.
You said Colorado was the worst team in the Pac-12.
I still think they are.
So what does that make you, Dub?
I mean,
the dumpster fire of the Pac-12.
What's that make us when they beat us today?
Wow.
Wow.
Good point. Good point.
Good segue. All right, rivalry week.
Do we want to get into the player of the week?
I already brought him up, but go ahead.
He hails from Pacifica, California. He's thrown for 45 touchdowns. He threw for 606 yards and 6 TDs last week. Who am I talking about? Anthony Air Gordon. Congratulations. You're WST Podcast Player of the Week.
I think he has over more, like 70 more completions than the next closest quarterback this year.
Wow.
And if he has a big game this week, he could, I think BJ Simons has a single season passing yards title at something like 50, I want to say like 5,300. And oddly enough, that was in a Leach offense. He has a chance to get there.
Does John Madden have the intramural passing record at Wazoo?
Rehorn's got the all-time drops record.
Wow. Shots fired.
Not reliable.
All right. Let's talk rivalries.
Yeah, it's a big week. Day after Thanksgiving. I think it's Friday. Somewhere it's Friday. And we've got the Apple Cup today. How are you guys feeling? Wazoo?
Let's talk Civil War just to get this one off the...
off the docket?
Off the docket.
The Beavs, one win away from bowl eligibility. Do they get it this weekend?
So why is it called the Civil War?
No idea.
Anyone?
No idea.
It seems odd to me. It should be called the Oregon Trail Award or Oregon the Oregon Trail, the Covered Wagon Bowl.
The Lewis and Clark Bowl.
Start a movement.
The Shovel Bowl.
The Nike Air Max Shoe Bowl.
The Air Force One Bowl. Oh, Oregon's got the all-time lead, 65-47, 10 ties. And current two-game winning streak for Oregon. Oregon State actually pulled off the upset back in 2016 when Gary Anderson was their coach and Oregon was being coached by Mark Helfrich. I believe the Ducks get or trounce the Beavs today. I don't know if you guys think anything different, but.
Well, the Ducks are out of the playoff race, and the Beavs need this for bowl eligibility, but I agree with Ben. I think the Ducks roll. I read somewhere they won the last two meetings by a combined total of 99 points. Ducks are going to win by, I'm going to say they're going to win by 20 today. 48-28, Ducks.
What's the spread, James?
Spread is 19.5.
Ooh, so you think they're going to cover, Kyle?
They're going to cover. Ducks are going to cover.
Okay. James?
I think they win, but don't cover. I don't know. I think they're going to come out fired up after that tough loss last week. But Oregon State also had a tough loss last week. It's in Austin. I don't know. Yeah, I don't think they cover, but I think they win by 18 or 19.
Here's where you're wrong, my friend.
Ooh.
Oregon State wants to become bowl eligible, as Kyle said.
Are you switching your pick, Ben?
5-6, I am.
Wow.
I'm putting on the beaver head.
Okay. That one
fell off. I'm putting on the beaver head. I'm grabbing my chainsaw, and I'm firing that thing up.
Okay.
That's a huge upset pick.
Huge.
I think Luton finds there's something to me, something that usually in a game like this, you're the best player is the difference on the field. And I think the best offensive player on the field is Isaiah Hodgins for the Beavs. Over 1,000 yards already, 13 touchdown receptions. I think he goes for 200 plus yards or receiving yards, 3 TDs, and the Beavs upset the Ducks as the Ducks miss a field goal to try to win the game. Autzen, it's 42 degrees. It's brisk. It's going to be a dead ball. He's going to push it wide right.
I want to pick the Beavs so bad, but I just don't see it happening. But
I'll let you guys gain some ground in that one.
Okay, fair enough. Thank you.
All right, do we want to get in the cup?
Let's get into the cup.
We've already said we're not going to cover any of the other quote-unquote rivalries going on in the Pac-12 this week.
No duel in the desert, Rehorn.
As exciting as that one would be.
Rehorn, what is your favorite Apple Cup moment, game, banter, joke?
Favorite Apple Cup moment would have been at UW, I don't know, probably like 10 years ago, and a while ago now at this point, where we won, stormed the field. I think picture in the Seattle Times of our friend Grover sitting on the goalpost at UW. I think that was a great moment. There hasn't been a lot of enjoyable Apple Cup moments for Coug fans, but I think that would be one of them.
I think I helped Grover up on the goalpost that time, and then I tried to climb up and fell down 3 times and just stopped and cheered from the bottom.
You're top heavy. You couldn't make
exactly.
It.
Exactly. Required some leg power to get up there. I think my favorite, so back, this was before, I think during college, we'd come back. Maybe it was right after college. We'd come back to a place called Draft Picks in Mount Vernon. And it's an old bar. It's owned by some Cougs. And there was a divider like through the middle of the bar. And so all the Husky fans would sit on one side and all the Cougs fans on the other. and like the banter and yelling would happen through like the hole where the bartenders would come, you know, and serve one side, serve the other. And there's a guy, my dad's buddy, who's frequents the draft picks quite a bit, but he didn't go to either college. And I watched him throughout the game, and he'd like see someone that he knew walk into one side, and he'd go over, you know, talk to him, and they'd end up buying him a drink. So he'd talk to him for a little bit, and then he'd see another person. He had no affiliation. I think he got like 15 free beers throughout the game from just doing that. So by the end of the game, he didn't care who won, but he got as many free drinks as he could, which power move on his part. I think great we lost move. That game after the interception by some Husky intercepted it and returned it for a touchdown. James, you recall who that was?
What year was this?
Had it been like 2006, maybe 7, maybe 5, somewhere in there. I have a good joke.
Let's hear it. 2006. I think we had a couple of years where 2004, 2005 we won, 2007, 2008 we won. So it must have been 2006 when the Cougs lost.
Yeah, I think Alex Brink's the only quarterback of note in the last few years to win two Apple Cups.
Yeah, like yeah, everyone hated him, but he won us a couple Apple Cups. So.
So what's the difference between God and Ryan Leaf?
I don't
Ryan
know.
Leaf is God?
I think it's something along those lines. I think it's, yeah, God doesn't believe he's Ryan Leaf, but Ryan Leaf believes he's God. He won an Apple Cup. Let's talk about the quarterbacks.
Montlake, Jake.
So as of late, James, you've seen these. I think you sent me this article about how NFL scouts, ever since Minshew had a glimmer of excellence this year, there's more focus on what Anthony Gordon's doing. And I guess statistically, there's probably no doubt he's one of the better quarterbacks in I guess just not in the Pac-12, but nationally. So the question becomes is who shows up in this game? Is it Eason?
Well,
is Eason better than Gordon?
I think those are two different things. I think Gordon's way better than Eason. I think Gordon has potential to get drafted. You know, let's not get too aggressive here and start throwing out first round projections, but I think he's tall. He's got the build, needs to put on a little bit of weight, but he's got that quick release and he can make all the throws. He has all of the physical attributes that first rounders have. That quick release is what all the scouts are just in love with. He gets the ball out real quick. So I think Anthony Gordon is definitely the better quarterback. I don't know if that gets him the win today.
Washington's favored by 7, over under of 63.5.
Where are you guys going to watch the game? Rehorn, where are you going? You going down to the Buccaneer, Shanghai Kelly's? Where are you going, Rehorn?
World Club.
Ben's local bar in San Francisco.
World Club. Great mac and cheese buffet at lunch.
Yeah.
I've eaten lunch there before. I'm actually in Pacifica right now. We had Thanksgiving down in Gilroy last night with some family and friends. So headed up here. Kelly wanted a nice beach day, so got an Airbnb here in Pacifica. So gonna find a bar out here. Hopefully find some Cougs fans. It's Anthony Gordon's hometown.
Nice. That's right.
What time you cracking your first claw, Rehorn?
I don't know. I think we got to, as soon as Kelly, my wife, wakes up here so we can go grab some brunch. I couldn't do it in the Airbnb, this podcast in the Airbnb, because she's sleeping and she would just get irate if I just started doing a podcast and talking and picking her up.
So where are you?
Sitting in the car. I'm sitting in the car outside.
He's sitting in the car and he's got a 6-pack of claws to his mouth.
Just ripping through him.
James, you could leverage that. Hey, babe, I did you a nice thing, but then as soon as we're done here, yeah, turn on, like, you know, mute yourself, drive up to the 7-Eleven, grab some claws and a tin of Zen and just, yeah, say we went a little longer than we should have.
I might do that.
All right. What are your picks? Kyle, you have no affiliation to the game. You're unbiased. What do you see?
I've got a lot of Coug friends, but Chris Peterson's defense is always giving Mike Leach trouble. I hate to say it, guys. I'm going UW. UW 38-28 Huskies.
I'll be covered too. Get the door for $63. It's going to be a brisk 31 degrees. James and I talked about this for the last few weeks. Undoubtedly, it will snow or the weather will turn where WSU's air raid offense. I don't think that happens today. Looking at the weather here in Seattle, it's a little cold, a little frosty, but nothing a hand warmer can't help with Mr. Eric Gordon. I see Mike Leach. If you look at his play call sheet, it looks like a CVS receipt. It's very small, but you know what? It's a little bit longer this year. I see Mr. Leach throwing out some plays. We're going to see some bubble screens to pass backs to hook and ladders. You're going to see it all from Mr. Leach today. Borgie may run the Wildcat. I wouldn't doubt if that happens. I mean, we're playing with house money. We're already bowl eligible. We want to take down the Dogs for the first time in a long time. Cougs pull this one out. 31-28.
All right. Rehorn, what are you thinking?
I like that pick a lot. It's all logic says the Huskies are going to win. Regardless, like, the only thing that gives me a glimmer of hope is seeing them just not show up in that Colorado game last week. Regardless of how good the Cougs are or how bad the Huskies are, they play their best game this season every year in that game, and we play our worst game of the season every year in that game. Time after time, as hopeful as I get, I just get continually disappointed. So logic says Huskies win and probably cover, but I can't pull myself to do that. So I think it's close. I think it's 35-35 OT. Cougs win.
Cougs win.
Blake Mazza, 18-19 this year. Lou Groza Award winner, puts it through. He sits on the football so it's warm prior to this field goal.
That's how he deflates
center,
the football.
Center cut, and Grover swims from Mercer Island to Husky Stadium and gets back on top of the goalpost. Bold prediction.
Is Grover going to the game?
No. Okay. It's Grover's birthday. It's Grover. Rehorn, I'm getting Grover a helmet for his birthday just so he doesn't go and concuss himself.
Amazing.
Good move.
Don't get him a kicker helmet because he still might concuss himself through that. He needs extra padding.
Double bar.
Did you see the video of him falling down last year?
I need to see that video.
He's giving a big speech for his birthday in the middle of the Apple Cup, and he just walks to the side and just trips and falls on his face.
Amazing.
Oh, wow. Okay. Any other Pac-12 games we should be concerned about? I mean, Notre Dame's going to roll Stanford. Who cares? Colorado, Utah, boring. Rice-Eccles Stadium, Colorado's going to get run. The Sunshine State Bowl, or whatever you want to call this, the Old Town Bowl.
Let's get into the good games.
California, UCLA, boring. Who really cares about that one either? DTR versus whomever.
We're moving out to Ann Arbor. Number 1, Ohio State. Number 13, Michigan. Who do you guys like?
Big current win today. Streak. Current win streak for Ohio State. 7 straight.
Yikes.
Some say Jim Harbaugh can't get it done. You know who the last coach of Michigan was to beat Ohio State?
Lloyd Carr.
No.
Rich Rod?
Rich Rod.
Was it Rich Rod?
No. Big old Brady Hoke.
Wow.
The guy that looked like he lived off hot dogs and Bud Heavies beat Luke Fickell back in 2011, 40-34. Since then, The closest game was back 42-41. Urban Meyer beat Brady Hoke and then started the Harbaugh era back. He's been there, what, 4 years now for Michigan?
Yeah.
The closest he's come to beat Ohio State is back in 2016, where they lost 30-27. Urban Meyer's had Michigan's number since he's been on board. I mean, Michigan still leads 58-50 in this overall.
I don't think a lot of that's Harbaugh's fault. I think he, you know, I don't think it's the fact that he can't win the big game. I think it's that he's in that game. Ohio State's been one of the best teams in the country all four of those years, if not the best team in the country this year.
Yeah, I think he was just – he just picked the wrong time to play Ohio State. Like, they've been loaded the last 4 years.
Do you think Harbaugh's going to bed at night hoping that Clay Helton just loses? He's hoping, you know, if he loses, so Urban Meyer leaves and goes to USC. And
Urban Meyer's in the studio
Urban
right
Meyer's
now.
Urban Meyer's already gone.
Oh, excuse me. Well, okay, so he's probably going to need to edit that, Kyle.
No, I'm leaving it.
Well, so this is the first year. I guess this has some sort of context, because this would be the first year that Harbaugh's played Ohio State without Urban Meyer as the coach.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's still his team. It's still all his players. He's not the coach anymore, but he's basically.
You're saying he's going to coach from the broadcast booth?
I mean, that's what he's been doing. He's worse than I am with his homer picks on, you know, Ohio State, with, you know, me and the Kooks. He's in the broadcast booth. He's all Ohio State all the way.
I heard.
And I understand why. It's all his. He recruited all those kids, you know. It was his job until, you know, just a few months ago.
I heard someone say that if Ohio State wins out to go 15-0, they would be one of the top five teams of all time. I haven't watched them enough to agree or disagree.
I haven't watched them enough.
And James, you got anything? Justin Fields is, I mean watching him.
Chase Young is unbelievable.
Yeah,
Chase Young. If you take him off that team, is that team the same if you take Chase Young off of it? We can get into another conversation. He's the best player in college football and deserves the Heisman, but he won't because it's the quarterback award.
Yeah,
right. It's in Ann Arbor, Michigan State. It looks like it's 38 degrees, a little snow, a little rain, a little sleet. $114 to get in the door only. This is a little surprising. You're only 9.5-point favorite for Ohio State. But when you're at home, I think if they were at home, they'd be up around 13, 14, 15-point favorite.
But Jim Harbaugh has never beaten the Buckeyes, and this is Urban Meyer's team. I'm going Buckeyes.
I'll go Buckeyes, sure.
Yeah, I think, you know, it's at Michigan, but Ohio State is just next-level team. I think they win big.
Define big.
I think they cover.
Okay.
9.5-point spread. I think they win by 20.
Michigan's won 4 straight. They beat an Indiana team who some say they're on an upswing. So
you want to change your pick, Big Ben?
No.
Ohio State is undefeated. They're 11-0.
So who's got more momentum? Who Michigan's played the last 4 games? It's not Ohio State.
Exactly.
You could probably play the top, take the top players from Notre Dame, Maryland, Michigan.
The number one ranked team in the country. There's no way they lose this game.
James, I'm trying to put a little more sustenance to this argument here. But all right, you're right. Ohio State wins. Let's go to the bigger game.
Are you talking Bama at Auburn?
Iron Bowl.
Oh.
Jordan-Hare Stadium in Auburn. 71 degrees. A little heat wave.
Ooh.
$103 to get in the door. It's a lot. Any comments?
I think a lot of people are expecting Auburn to win. And with this win, knock Alabama out of the playoff race. Because Tua's injured and...
Who's the quarterback?
They look vulnerable right now
for Bama.
Who's what?
Quarterback.
I think it's read it's Mac Jones.
Mac Jones?
Yeah. Do you think if Bama wins, they'll be playing Return of the Mac all night long?
Is that tree poisoned? Phil, is it?
I think it's gone.
Is it gone?
Yeah.
I would love to go to it.
Crazy Alabama fan went and killed it.
I would love to go to Auburn Bowl.
Let
me see here. So since Malzahn's been coaching, he is 2-4 against Saban in the Iron Bowl, which I would say that's a pretty darn good record.
Yeah.
Considering. The last two that he's won have been at Auburn. Looks like Saban's only won once in Auburn back in 2015. So some would say that Malzahn has a winning record at home against Saban.
Wasn't one of those wins like a fluke win, like a missed field goal or something that the guy ran back?
That's not fluke. It's good game planning.
True.
The special teams coach was carried off the field that game.
Yeah, they practiced that.
All-time record, 46 wins for Bama, 36 for Auburn. Only one tie. I think Auburn wins. Their defense is too tough. I saw a comment somewhere that said who was being compared to Auburn. It was an NFL team, but the net of it was a phenomenal defense, a trash quarterback, and they've somewhat overachieved based on how crappy their quarterback. I don't know if one of you can pull who the NFL team that we're talking about here. Might have been the Eagles.
Bears every year.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, it was the Bears. Auburn Tigers are the Bears. I think their defense gets it done. No Tua.
But I just don't know about Bo Nix, a quarterback. And I think Alabama, you could throw John Madden in at quarterback. They've got an unbelievable stable of wide receivers. They got Jerry, Judy, and Smith, and they got Najee Harris in the backfield. I don't trust Bo Nix. So I'm going Bama. I think they just find a way. Return of the Mac. I'm going Bama.
You don't trust Bo?
I don't trust Bo.
After what he did to Oregon?
Bo. That was like, seemed like years ago. He's been inconsistent all year, up and down.
You know what's interesting? Big Herm ruined the Pac-12.
Wow.
He did. Think about it this way. So a lot of people said, right? Okay, a lot of people have said that Auburn loss isn't so bad, right? Or it wouldn't be as bad considering they've been 8-3 in the SEC. They're ranked in the top 15. If Oregon wins last week, they go into the Civil War. You know, if they get things done against Oregon State, they're in a Pac-12 game at one loss. And if Auburn beats Bama, that loss looks even better.
Yeah.
So Big Herm personally ruined the Pac-12 this year. Way to go, Herm. He's probably teeing off on number one right now, not giving a fuck. But
Doug's almost did.
Rehorn, who are you going with in this game?
I think you got to go Alabama. I mean, I agree with Kyle. Doesn't matter who you throw in a quarterback there. They've got the deeper team. That offense is explosive. I think Alabama goes in there and wins. And yeah, I'm just not sold on Auburn. I know they got a great defense, but I'm just not really, nothing about them that's real impressive to me. I'll always hate Auburn because when the Cougs played there in 2013, we were driving to win that game. And deep ball, the safety tackles the receiver before the ball even gets close to touching his hands. Like the ball's 5 yards away and he tackles the guy. No flag. Game over.
A la Rams Saints.
Cougs lost. Auburn goes on to play in the national championship.
So, James, they're on your list of hated teams.
Yeah.
You pull that.
I hate Auburn after that.
Huskies. So, Auburn.
I'm going Bama to win this one.
Any other rival game? South Carolina Clemson's always a good one.
There's one more I think we do.
That one up.
I think we do number 7 Oklahoma at number 21 Oklahoma State.
What's this called? Boone Pickens, Stillwater. Oklahoma's favored,
Oklahoma's favored by 13 and a half.
You know who doesn't get?
Who do they cover?
I think they cover.
I don't think they cover too.
I don't think they do.
Really?
I'll put a 50 burger on for with both of you and then them not covering.
I don't know if I'm going to do that. But I don't believe it of that much.
James pulled out his wallet and is counting his cash right now. Here's why I say that. You know who doesn't get enough press? And because he's been overshadowed by Jalen Hurts.
Who?
Chuba Hubbard. Probably the best name in college football.
Good game.
Over 1,800 yards on the ground and over 20 TDs. So he personally, like I predicted with Isaiah Hodgins, carries this team. He's the best player on the field. Oklahoma State. I think they upset Oklahoma. I'm taking the state schools today. Upsets. Anything with the state and last name. Let's go.
Like so that. The Sooners, what are they? They're 7. They need a big win. And they need some other teams to lose. I think Oklahoma pulls it off. I think Jalen Hurts has a big game. But I think the Sooners are out of the playoff race. And Hurts, yeah, despite a monster game, there's no way he's going to pass Joe Burrow and win the Heisman. So good news, Sooners win. Bad news, no playoffs, no Heisman coming out of Norman this year.
Who's making the playoff?
There's still some conference championship games to be played, so it's still definitely – they can still get in.
There's a Big 12 up conference championship game. Aren't they the only one that doesn't?
They don't have it.
So they play all 9 teams, right? That's the theory there, is that they don't need a conference championship because there's enough regular season games for them to play everyone, right?
Correct. So Ohio State's, they're a lock. How many SEC teams are going to make it?
Well, here's the thing. Does Clemson beat South Carolina today?
Yeah, by like 150 points. The ACC is awful.
They cover the 27.5 point spread.
Well, you say that. You say that, right? But South Carolina is
an SEC school.
They're an SEC school.
Oh, yeah, that's true. But they still
also beat Georgia. They beat Georgia.
Oh, I guess this is Clemson's rivalry game.
It is. You don't recall with the guy stomping on the other guy's head like 15 years back? This is a rivalry game.
Yeah.
This is heated rivalry game. You're not going to see the Cougs and Huskies necessarily. They're playing for like the Apple Cup. It might be the softest name for any rivalry cup bowl. But you put South Carolina and Clemson in the same stadium. I wouldn't be surprised if someone like, you know, went and stole Howard's Rock or something, brought it back to the South Carolina campus, and then proceeded to, you know, I guess, what does a tiger do? Or what does a gamecock do? Urinate on the Howard's Rock? Something to that effect? This should be the game. This is, I'm going to glue myself to the TV today. Too many good games. 9 a.m. kickoff.
Are you going to watch Georgia Tech?
Well, that's the rivalry game's tomorrow. So we got a whole slate. Let's talk about when these games are. What do we got today? Tomorrow's the big day. That
Clemson South Carolina game kicks off in 10 minutes.
No, wow. It's tomorrow. So you got you got a 9 a.m. kick for Ohio.
Same time as the big game.
Yeah, and then you got 12:30, Auburn, Alabama. We're not going to talk about Minnesota, Wisconsin. Who cares about the Big Ten?
Yeah.
And then, you know,
Minnesota,
throughout the rest.
Wisconsin's a big game.
That's a huge game.
It is a big game.
But
who cares?
Arguably the best, one of the best of the week. You're just going to skip past that one?
Nah. It's Minnesota. Nah. Come on.
That's boring football.
Minnesota's like the Cougs of the Big Ten.
They are. But they haven't beat anyone. They beat Penn State, but then lose to Iowa. I mean, they've only beat one ranked team, which is Penn State.
We're going to cover Rutgers at Penn State today for that rivalry. They're 0-8 in the Big Ten.
I think 2-9.
Rutgers is still the fist bump.
Rutgers is so
bad. By 40 and a half.
Rutgers is so bad they fired their coach, I think Shione or something. And then I saw an article. They're like, well, the coach that we have is actually worse than the guy we fired. So we're going to bring that guy back.
Isn't that the school where they fired the coach and then some of their good players were like, yeah, we're going to redshirt this year?
No, that could be. But Houston like redshirted like six or seven dudes after, I think, what's the rule? You have to, if you play in more than 25% of the season, you can't redshirt.
Yeah.
So I think going into like game four, they're like, we're not going to be that great this year. Let's redshirt. Then we'll bring people back. Load management, Kyle.
Load management.
They could step it up like Minshew and just smash their hands with a hammer.
That is true.
All right, so you, Kyle, you keeping track of the picks?
Yeah, I need Rehorn's pick on Oklahoma or Oklahoma State.
Oklahoma.
All right. So I'll just recap them real quick. Ben's got the Beavs. Rehorn and I have the Ducks. Ben and Rehorn both have the Cougs, but I have Groger getting a concussion, taking down the goalposts, even though UW wins because he's going to be confused. I think we all have the Buckeyes. Ben has Auburn. Rehorn and I have Bama. Ben has Oklahoma State. Rehorn and I have Oklahoma. Rivalry week. Those are the picks.
Rehorn, let me put this to you. I think it's said if the Cougs win, they go to El Paso. They lose, they go to Vegas. So you know my question, right?
So then they, if they win,
which
they
one
lose.
Would I rather go to?
Well, yeah. If would you rather have a win and go to El Paso or a loss, be 6-6 and go to Vegas?
I'd rather win and watch it on TV while they go to El Paso. Then if they lose, I'm not going to fly to Vegas and watch a 6-6 team go play in a garbage bowl game. I always want to win. It's the Apple Cup, regardless of what bowl game they go play in. I mean, if they lose, they probably get snubbed and they go 6-6 and they just don't put them in a bowl game.
No.
It's happened before.
Wow.
Wait, so let's talk about that right now. So the bowl eligible teams, you got the Ducks, Bears, Cougs, Huskies, Utes, and Trojans, and then ASUs.
The keyword is bowl eligible, which means if you look at our conference record, I think I could see it happening to where Cougs get overlooked and like, yeah, you're 6-6, but we're not putting you in a bowl game.
Yeah, I guess you're right. Hold on, that gives me one. Oregon, Cal, Cougs, Huskies, Utes, Trojans, and well, that's seven teams that are bowl eligible right now. And I think you're looking at the Vegas Bowl, the Holiday Bowl, the Cheez-It Bowl, the Red Box Bowl, the Sun Bowl, the Alamo Bowl, and the Rose Bowl. So that's seven bowls. You're saying if someone else, which at this point the only other team that can become bowl eligible after today in the Pac-12, who I guess would be Oregon State, there's two teams in Colorado. So you're saying if those two teams become bowl eligible, a bowl committee or whomever at the Cheez-It Bowl might pick Colorado or Oregon State over the Cougs?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think it would be Colorado or Oregon State. I don't think they're going to a bowl game. I think that if Colorado even bowl eligible, what is their record? No way.
They're 5-6. You just call them one of the worst teams in the Pac-12. You believe they're bowl eligible?
They are. They are the worst team in the Pac-12.
They are not going to become bowl eligible. Oregon State probably doesn't have a great chance to become bowl eligible, but I'm going to believe they will be because they're going
to win six games to be bowl eligible.
Yeah.
Also, Colorado could get the Utes today or tomorrow.
Also, they could go to another conference. I think once it gets down that low, I don't think they have to stick with a Pac-12 team. I think they can just pick any other team.
No.
But let's stay positive. Cougs go to a bowl game. regardless of how they play today.
Do you know if they still have the Red Box Bowl?
With two games to go.
I think they still have
that. Anthony Gordon needs 96 completions, 914 yards, and 14 touchdowns to
set do what?
All of those records. To set all of those records for a single season, you know, passing records in college football. Does he do it?
I think he's got a chance with the yards.
Yards, yeah. Definitely.
Yards, definitely. I don't know if he can get to the touchdowns.
I mean, they threw it 70 times against Oregon State and completely. So you're basically, what you're saying right there is he would have to have how many touchdowns? Is he off?
Did he say 14?
He needs 14 touchdowns.
So he needs that almost that exact same game he just had against Oregon State, but one more touchdown.
Yeah, to stay on pace.
Look at his last two games. He went off.
Who has the most touchdowns? Who has that mark? James, send the intern sitting next to you in the passenger seat out to figure that out.
It's like David Klingler from Houston.
Is it?
I don't know.
I know Simon says the yardage mark. I don't know, James. I don't think he gets there. I think he has a chance with the yardage mark. I don't think he gets there in touchdowns and completions.
I mean, I think if this game goes to OT today and we go to a bowl game, I think he's got a shot at all of them.
As you predicted, right?
Then he's definitely going first round.
Bold prediction.
Bold prediction.
Here, Gordon, first
round. Jumping way ahead. Gordo goes first round.
Gordo goes ahead of both Tui and Tui and Air Bear.
Right. Should we wrap this up?
Let's do it.
You want to tell the listeners where they can find us?
Yeah, the Western Standard Time, patented, trademarked Western Standard Time. You can find us on social media, WST_podcast, Facebook. A lot of my family got chuckles, Kyle, out of our little YouTube clips. They loved it, especially you and the standing in uniform this past one. So you can find us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, any other social media, Kyle? Why don't you tell them
about it
on the podcast?
iHeart, Spotify, Apple, wherever you want to be. WST Podcast with James Rehorn. Thanks for joining the show today, James.
Rivalry Week.
Thanks for having me.
Boom.
Boom. I have no idea where West Seattle is. You've explained it 5 times. You haven't done a very good job. So break it down to me. West Seattle,
so consider Seattle Manhattan.
Okay.
And then consider West Seattle, oddly enough, Hoboken.
Okay.
There's ferries that come over here. But the difference being there's a bridge that also obviously comes over to West Seattle.
So if I'm on Western by where Cutters is and I look out into the water and then there's Bainbridge Island, is that West Seattle out by Bainbridge?
So West Seattle is a little south of Bainbridge.
So closer towards the ballpark and over the water?
Sure.
Okay. Wow, you're not that far from your office.
No. In fact, I'm gonna get an e-bike and take the ferry just like I did in Hoboken. Muck it up with all the West Seattle, you know, blue collar workers, white collar workers.
I like it.
Yeah.
When you said West Seattle, I thought you were like on a houseboat somewhere called Lake Washington. I was ready to come up for what's it called? SeaTac.
Seafair?
Yeah, you're
you don't do a seafair on the Sound. You don't do a seafair on the Sound. That's done on a plate. Yeah. All right. Do we want to do Big Ben's 2-minute drill?
Yeah. Who knows where Rehorn is?